Good morning.
Good morning.
Church, I sent out a message to most of you who are on my text message list, and sent out a message letting you know that today I have a confession to make to the church. And it's very difficult for me, but I want to make sure that you all hear directly from my heart. And the confession that I have to make to you today, Breakthrough, and friends of Breakthrough, is that sometimes I do not feel like going to church. Look at you. What was y'all thinking I was going to say? Amen. Sometimes I really do not feel like going to church. Yeah, I know that's shocking, right? I know that that's probably jaw-dropping and all of that. I mean, who in the world does that as a pastor? Who will say something like that? That every now and then, I just want to spend my Sunday running errands, going to the mall, going to catch a movie. Heck, sometimes I think about just sitting on the couch with some cookies and cream ice cream and watching television all day long. Sometimes I just want to take a break. And I know that this may sound shocking to you all because nobody in here has ever felt this way. But every now and then, I do not feel like going to church. And my brothers and my sisters, this has been a struggle for me for a while, even since childhood. And I remember as a child, my mother would instruct me to get ready for church. And I did all that I could to get out of it. I pretended to be sick. I mean, deathly sick. I mean, I couldn't get up out of the bed, that type of sick. But it's amazing how that sickness only lasted long enough for the duration of church service. Because when my friends were out going outside to play, I was healthy as all get out and was able to go out later on if she let me. Well, I even went to the extremes of hiding one of my dress shoes every now and then to tell her I don't have anything to wear. I don't have shoes. But guess what? My mother was a trendsetter because I was one of the first people to wear tennis shoes to church. Even when it wasn't cool back in the day. My brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, I just wanted to confess to you this morning that sometimes I just do not feel like going to church. And I don't think that I'm alone. And it has nothing to do with the specific church. Breakthrough, it doesn't matter what church, because it's a number of churches. There's thousands of churches I can choose to go to in the city of San Antonio and vicinity. But sometimes I don't want to go to nobody's church. I just want to sit at home and do nothing. And then, just as I am about to resolve that on this Sunday I'm going to take a break, on this Sunday they can get someone else to preach, on this Sunday I have my day planned out, don't y'all know that God has the audacity to come in and mess up my plans? He messes up my plans to do nothing. By bringing me to certain passages of scripture, or reminding me of certain things, and helps me to understand that going to church really has nothing to do with me. It really doesn't. Going to church has everything to do with me glorifying the God I claim to believe in. That's what it's really about. And so I just want to offer you all the plan that God, or the thing that God messes me up with, because I know that there's somebody sitting in here right now. You didn't feel like coming to church today. And the truth be told, you were trying to think of reasons not to come today. If you look around, you see some chairs that are empty because some people decided, I'm not going to church today. It's not that they have to work. It's not that they had to study. It's not that any of those things. They just decided, I'm not coming to church today. Why? Because they just didn't want to. Can we be truthful today? I just want to be real on today and help somebody on today, because the truth be told, there's too many hits and misses with us going to church. And so really, what is the point of going to church? Some folks will say, I can worship God all by myself. I can serve him all by myself. I can do that's true. So then why do we gather for church? The Holy Spirit messed my plans up and told me and helped me to understand. We go to church to worship, for fellowship, and for discipleship. I just gave you my points. I can close up and go home right now and go ahead and get that cookies and cream ice cream if I want to. We go to church to worship, for fellowship, and for discipleship. But let me unpack that just for a few moments and help us with this thing, because too many of us make excuses or allow the enemy to give us excuses in why we don't participate in church. And one of the scriptures that God always seems to take me to is Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, I won't even ask you to stand. I'll just read it for you. This is what it says that messes me up. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And watch this. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. But then here's the verse that just messes with me all the time. Verse 25 in Hebrews chapter 10 says this: not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Verse 25 says, don't forsake coming together as a body of believers, as some folks are doing. So everybody say, some folks. Listen, you don't want to be some folks. When the Bible speaks of some folks are forsaking the fellowship, in other words, coming together for church, because they are saying, I got other stuff to do. He says, don't be like that. You make sure that you do not forsake coming together. But what is the point of church, worship, fellowship, discipleship? And I just want to teach it to you today just for a few moments and then I'm done. First of all, it's worship. Everybody say worship. Worship. Listen, the word worship, I want to focus in on the Greek word proskuneo. Proskuneo. This simply means to kiss the hand of one who is worthy. Watch this. It is suggesting that there are some people, or there is only one person in the text or in the scripture, only one person is worthy of worship. And that person is God. And so we have to recognize that when we come to church, we come to church not for ourselves, but we come to church to acknowledge the worth of God. Are you with me? That's it right there. That's what we come to church for, is to acknowledge the worth of God. Listen, God helped me with this thing because he helped me to put it in perspective, because as I was sitting there debating on the things that I could be doing instead of going to church on Sunday, God helped me to relay that list and to run that list down. I could be doing some things, sitting on the couch, watching TV, going, running some errands, doing some things. And he helped me with this thing. And he said, list all the things that you would be doing in the time that you would be going to church. Now put that list on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side, put my name. And then look at the list on the left-hand side and look at what's on the right-hand side. And now you have to answer the question, is what you want to do on the left-hand side worth more than what's on the right-hand side? And my brothers and sisters, when I began to think about that thing, it really is significant for us to understand that we come to church to worship that which we value. And so if your time is worth more than God, then go ahead and skip church. If your errands are worth more than God, then go ahead and skip church. But if nothing is worth more than God, then you ought to be with the believers lifting up the name of the Most High. Ah, my brothers and sisters, he helped me with this thing. He helped me with this thing. What in your life is worth more than God? So we come to church to worship. The writer of Hebrews in the text, I'm not going to do a full exposition of this text, but in the text, he is reminding them in chapter 10 of what God did for them. He says, God gave you access to himself through Jesus Christ. You now are able to go to the very throne room of God because of what Jesus did for you. And when you come to church to worship, it is you acknowledging that God has given you access access to himself. And that's why we come to church. You could sit at home and say, yeah, I know that God gave me access to himself. But it's something about joining with two or three other brothers and sisters. It's something about coming along with other folks that increases the awareness of what God has done. If you look around and at the people that are around you, you will see miracles sitting on your wall. Because the truth be told, some of us shouldn't be here. Listen, we spend so much time trying to get out of being here. You need to recognize that you really shouldn't be here. Because the devil should have had you 6 feet under. The devil should have had you hemmed up in some prison. But instead of that, God gave you the grace and you're here today. Amen. So why wouldn't we go to church when we have opportunity to worship the one who is worthy of all of our praise? He's God. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? That he's God and he's good and he's almighty. If there's no other reason for you to go, you ought to go because of that. Because he is God and God all by himself. The fact that he created you, the fact that he started you on your way. If God says, listen, I'm throwing a party at 11:15 off of 410 and Parent Bible, you ought to show up. You ought to be the first one in the place because God is just that good. You don't have to show up for Pastor Cobbs. You don't have to show up for one another, but you can show up for the one that created you and opened up your eyes and allowed you to be able to make it. We ought to come to church because of worship. And secondly, we ought to come to church because of fellowship. Everybody say fellowship.
Fellowship.
Fellowship. Listen. I want to give you some challenges. I want to give you some challenges through each of these things, because we come to church for worship and we come to church for fellowship. But I want to give you a challenge. I want you to write this challenge down, because I'm not going to repeat it at the end, so you need to write it down. The challenge for worship, before we go on to fellowship, the challenge for worship is that I want you sometime during this week to say at least one prayer. To say at least one prayer where you don't ask God for anything. I want you to practice that. And you may say, Pastor, that ain't nothing. You know, try it. Some of y'all ain't writing it down, but God knows that you're hearing it. He knows that you're hearing it. I want you to practice praying to God without asking him for anything. What does that mean? I want you to pray, telling God, thank you for being who you are. Thank you for what you have done. I want you to pray to God without asking him for anything. That's your assignment for worship. That's your assignment. Now, in fellowship, just like worship is acknowledging the worthiness of God, fellowship is acknowledging the worth of our brothers and sisters. Here's what I mean by that. No, they are not on the same level as God. But when we come together in fellowship, the Bible tells us, behold how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. When we come together as a body of believers, it is a bunch of folks coming together that God has moved on their behalf, and we come together to share our experiences with one another. Fellowship is you strengthening me strengthening you. Fellowship is us encouraging one another. In that passage that we read, look at what the writer says. He says in verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Consider one another. Be considerate of one another. You don't come to church just for you. You come to church to help somebody. To see somebody, to lift somebody up, to pray for somebody. That's why you come to church. You come to church to lift up and magnify God's name. But then you come to church to help your brothers and sisters in Christ. Fellowship. I want to give an illustration, an exercise. I want everybody in here, I want you to close your right eye. Close your right eye. And I can see if you close your right eye. I can see out my left eye whether or not. Close your right eye. Keep it closed. Now this is what I want you to do. I want you to talk to your right eye. I want you to tell your right eye. Right eye, I'm not going to open you. Until next Sunday. Keep it closed. All right, I know some of y'all can't see already. You know, we all, I got glasses. But you just told your right eye, keep it closed, that you're not going to open it until next Sunday. Now think about this. How is that going to play out for you if you keep your right eye closed until next Sunday? Keep it closed, keep it closed. Imagine driving without your right eye. Imagine trying to function without your right eye until next Sunday. How do you think that would feel? How do you think that would feel? Call it out. How do you think it would feel? Awkward? It would feel what? Scary? Weird? It would feel strange if you did not have the use of your right eye. All right, go ahead and open your eyes. Go ahead and open up your eyes. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. That fellowship suggests to us that if we come to church and we do not get to know the folks that we are members with, alongside of, it is as if we are telling a part of the body of Christ, I'm not going to use you until next Sunday. Okay, y'all, wait a minute. Let me, that went over your head. That went over here. The body of Christ, the church is called the body of Christ. So what if you told part of your body, as you did with your eye, I'm not going to use you until next Sunday? Here's what I mean by that. The truth be told, some of us don't talk to each other, don't check on each other, don't do anything, don't even know what each other look like, anything like that. Only time we see one another is on Sunday. And guess what? That's not fellowship. You are out of fellowship if you are not concerned about your fellow church members. Look how quiet it is. And here's another way. Here's another way of testing that. If you don't know the name of every person that's in here, you're out of fellowship with your church members. Woo! If you don't know the name, the pastor's not the only one that has the responsibility to know everyone's name. But y'all expect that of me. If I didn't know your name, you'd be upset. But some of us in here, we've been together for 2 years, and some of us still don't know folks' names. Because we're not in fellowship. Fellowship is more than coming together on Sunday. And here's why this is important. Here's why it's important, because remember, I told you, I'm confessing that I do not like coming to church sometime. I don't want to come to church sometime. And here's why when it relates to fellowship. Sometimes I don't want to come to church because y'all don't care what has happened to me throughout the week. Lord, help me, Lord. You know how I know? Because don't nobody ask. And you're thinking that you are the only one that somebody should be asking about. I can go months and no one has asked me, how are you doing? Months. Bing, you hear that pin drop? Now listen, and I'm the pastor. So then what about you all as members? I can see why some folks don't want to go to church. I can see why some folks would rather stay at home because they know what they get at home. They know what they have at home, but they expect to be able to come to a place where somebody knows their name and cares about what's going on in their life. Told you, I just wanted to confess to that. That's one of the reasons why. It's hard sometimes to go to church. So here's your assignment. Here's your assignment for fellowship. Here's your assignment. I want you, before you leave out of this place, I want you to find three people and learn their name. Learn their name. Three people. Learn their name. Some of you, you're going to be going to people that you've been going to church with for 2 years. And you're going to find, and make sure you say their name right, please. Please do not make up a name. Some people still call me Cobb. That is not my name. My name is Cobbs. I'm thinking about changing it to a Z at the end. Just Cobbs, you know. But listen. Learn people's name. Three people. Find three people. Learn their name. Because it's important for us to understand what the church is all about. The church is about worship. The church is about fellowship. But then lastly, the church is about discipleship. Everybody say discipleship. Here it is. Here goes Pastor Cobb's on his high horse. Here he goes. Or not high horse, but on a soapbox. Here it is. Discipleship. Another purpose of the church is discipleship. Discipleship is following Jesus and learning more about him. We come to church to learn about Jesus. Amen? We learn about what he did. We learn about what he is doing. And we learn about what he has yet to do. Church should challenge us to learn about Jesus and to grow. Its purpose, the church's purpose, is not to make you feel good, but to teach you about the one who is good. That's what church is about. And so discipleship is, I am deciding to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to learn from him. I learn from his word. That is discipleship. But let me tell you a secret. The biggest enemy to discipleship is a thing called membership. Because some of us are content with being members of the church, but we have not moved from membership to discipleship. It's good enough for us to say, I'm a member of Breakthrough Church, but we have not moved from membership to discipleship. You know how I know? A member comes to church on Sunday, but a disciple goes to Bible study. A member says, I am going to be at church on Sunday. I'll be on times most of the time, but a disciple is there early and serving in some capacity. A member is one thing, but a disciple is a whole nother thing. And some of us have not moved from membership to discipleship. And that's what we have to recognize, my brothers and sisters, is that Satan will use your membership to keep you from discipleship. Y'all need to write that thing down. Because some of us right now, we are content in where we are because we are members, and Satan is not threatened by you being a member of somebody's church. But he is sure enough threatened when you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because when you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's disciples of Jesus Christ that kick down the gates of hell. It's disciples of Jesus Christ that experience breakthrough in their lives. But members of a church go to church every Sunday and may not ever change. Can I help you with it? Jesus had 12 disciples. All the disciples walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. The disciples learned from Jesus. They cast out demons and did all things that he assigned them to do. But one of them was on their way to hell. He was a member of Jesus' entourage. But he was not truly a disciple of his. His name was Judas. And it's possible, my brothers and sisters, to be even around Jesus. Judas shows us that you can be around him and still be on your way to hell. And some of us sitting here today, I ain't pointing nobody, I don't know. And don't look around and say, is it you? Is it you? Don't do that, because it may be you. I'm just saying, some of us sitting here right now, we think membership tells us to get our fix by going to church and feel good and feel better about ourselves. But discipleship challenges us and lets us know that your heart really is not right. Because some of you are zoned out even right now. Your mind is on Thursday when God has you on Sunday. And God sent me by to tell you, you don't even know if Thursday's going to come. All you have is right now, and you want to praise him and lift him up as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And here we are. There's reasons that folks don't like to go to church, don't want to go to church. But if you go to church, the reasons you go is for worship, fellowship, discipleship. But brother pastor, sometimes I ain't feeling that Bible study and all that. And God helped me with that, y'all. I'm telling you, I was wrestling with him, like, man, folk don't want to come out to that Bible study. And then God helped me with something. He said, the reason that folk don't want to come out to Bible study is because of that second word. Study.
All right.
And I don't know what happens in your households. But this is what the Spirit said to me, is that you can't make them do something that I can't get them to do. And most of us don't like to study. And the truth be told, even in school, we don't like to study. We don't like to study. We study when there is an incentive. We want a grade. Or we study when we've paid for our tuition. Oh, I want to make sure I pass this class. So then, why is it that we don't study God's word? Because some of us don't recognize the incentive and really don't care. That's why we don't study God's word. Or some of us think we already know it. Or we know enough. I know enough to pass the test. Then why you keep flunking? I don't want to go to church. But when I recognize that it's about worship, when I recognize it's about fellowship, but when I recognize it's about discipleship, and the only way my life is going to change, the only way I'm going to be better, the only way I'm going to realize what God has in store for me is for me to be around other believers, for me to grow, for me to be stretched, for me to be challenged, that's the only way. Pastor, I can do it on my own. I mean, so many. I can watch church online, and I can do different things. I can do all of these different things. But God put you here. He placed you with these people. And the folks that are around you, the folks that are a part of this church, everything that you need, God has already provided for you. Some of us don't even know what other folks do. There may be the answer to your problem, to your question, to your situation, may be sitting right next to you, in front of you, or behind you. But because you don't even know that person's name, you will never know. Discipleship. It's getting to know the things of God, learning about what He wants for us. And so consider this, and I'm done. Consider this. I may not want to go to church. I may not feel like going to church some days. And again, I've dealt with this, and it has nothing to do with the church. Me and my family have been in all kinds of church. We were raised in a mega church. Exciting music ministry, dynamic preaching, all of those things. It was some days I didn't feel like going to church there. I got on staff at an ultra traditional church and experienced a socially conscious church and all those things that were doing great things in the community. That's wonderful. That's awesome. But sometimes I didn't feel like going to church there. I became a pastor of a church and I began to lead the church and do different things or whatever. But sometimes I didn't feel like going to church there. And every time God reminded me, it's not about you. What are you putting more value in? Because you go to work. Try calling up your boss saying, you know what, I just don't feel like coming. You go to work. Sometimes you're sick. Why is it that you're sick? Why is it that you're on vacation? Why all these things happen on Sunday? And listen, God helped me with something. He said, listen, I already knew that you all were going to be like this. So I already built into your week and told you to take a Sabbath day. I've already told you to do it. So why don't you get your rest and your relaxation and run your errands? Why don't you do that on the Sabbath? Why you got to do it on my day? Why? Lord, I just don't feel like going to church. Because I forget it's about worship. It's about fellowship. It's about discipleship. Lord, I'm tired. I got work to do. I got a long week ahead. I've just had a heavy week. I've had all this stuff. I've had all this stuff going on. Lord, I don't want to go to church because of all that, because of all the stuff that's on me. And I want you all to know that that does not fly with God. You can tell me that. And I can't tell, what am I going to do? Come to your house and pull you out? But you can't tell that to God. You can't say that to God because He knows what it's really about. Listen. Let me close with this. I want to make sure that we understand the urgency, the sense of urgency and importance in understanding it's about worship of who God is, fellowship, that we need each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to know about one another. And some of us actually risk life and limb so that you could sit right there. Y'all don't believe me? Last week, we had a brother that locked up the church and then got in his car and drove himself to the hospital. He didn't give me permission to say that, but that's all right, Brother Ben. But he's so intent on making sure that you get the word that he didn't say anything. And yet, we can stub our toe and not go to church. It doesn't matter what your week looked like, what you've been going through, all of that. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about how tired I am and this and that. If I can get up and go to the gym every day, if I can get up and go to work, if I can get up and go do whatever I want to do, I got to stop lying to myself and lying to God and lying to my brothers and sisters that I can't make it there, but I can make it everywhere else. God speaks to me through movies because he knows that his son loves movies. I love movies. One of my absolute favorite movies is a movie called Liar Liar with Jim Carrey. Man, that is my movie. In fact, I may go rent that. I just want to see it again. I just love that movie, Liar Liar. The premise of the movie is that Jim Carrey's character is named Fletcher. Fletcher is a lawyer that is corrupt and he lies all the time to win his cases. His son is, he has a strange son, and his son makes a wish that his father will not be able to lie. So his father is not able to lie for 24 hours. And it just so happens that Fletcher is in the middle of a big case, and he was planning on doing some swindling and doing some maneuvering to be able to win this case. But now he's in court and he cannot lie. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. So Fletcher comes up with this plan. He says, I got to do whatever I can to get up out of this case. I got to do something. He goes into the bathroom and beats himself up. He beats himself up, throws the trash can on himself, and beats himself up, punches himself in the face. He tears his clothes. He goes back into the courtroom. He's torn up. He's mangled. He's looking disheveled and all of that, thinking that the judge is going to dismiss them for the day and allow him to be able to come back the next day when he can lie. But the judge does something that is just incredible to me. The judge does not dismiss the case, or the judge does not say, we'll take a recess. The judge asks him a question. The judge says, are you able to continue? Fletcher's standing there. He's trying to lie. He wants to lie. But understand, my brothers and sisters, he beat himself up. He's the one that put himself in this situation. He's the one that looks the way that he looks as a result of his own conniving. And he tells the judge nothing but the truth. Yes, I can continue. And so the judge expects him to continue doing what he is supposed to do, even though he is beaten up, disheveled, looking raggedy, and all that. But the judge asks him the question, are you able to continue? And I challenge you, my brothers and sisters, the next time you get in your mind, you know what, I ain't going to church today. I don't want to go. I'm not doing all these things. I'm not going to go and outreach and do all of this stuff. I'm not going to do all of that. The judge sent me by as the bailiff to put the question in your mind. Are you able to continue? That's really the question. Are you able to continue? And most of us, the answer is nothing but, yeah, I am. So bring your beaten up, torn up, disheveled self, because that's how I'm coming in. But wait a minute, you're in good company. Because over 2,000 years ago, there was another that was beaten up. There was another who was torn and battered. There was another who had an opportunity to say, I can't, I can't do this. But the ultimate judge allowed him to sacrifice and continue on with his assignment so that you and I could sit here today. Are you able to continue? Yeah, you are. You don't want to go to church? I feel you. I'm with you. I understand. But the question really is, but are you able to continue? Because someone put their life on the line so that you could sit in these nice, borrowed seats and air conditioning and learn the Word of God. Are you able to continue? Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Stand